He can't handle the head of department, but he's my papa. Oh. All these lecturers are bigger than him. My papa. Oh. You are getting what I'm saying? You sit down there 4 years, you complain that man was head of department throughout your stay in school. Go back, think about it. When did you even bring up the matter in prayer? Because you didn't realize that there are two sets of students in that department or in that faculty. There is a salt of the faculty and there is a dung of the faculty. Decisions are made by God, all right, with the knowledge of the affairs of the salt of the earth. If there's a problem in Nigeria, I've told the Lord. I have a wife and I have children and I can't run. All this I'm saying is to emphasize something to you. You and your neighbor are not the same thing. The fact that thieves came to his house and took all his things doesn't mean you are the same thing. Even if they stole your things last year, it doesn't mean you are the same thing. Do you get my point? Listen, learn your own lessons. Tackle your affairs between you and God. Your neighborhood, you are a blessing. What shall we do? We are dead. Don't utter such things. If you say, that's why everybody is dead. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen. Now, this is what I'm trying to teach today. God taught Moses to prophesy. And you must learn to prophesy. God taught Moses, this is what you will do. Okay, we're reading Jeremiah. Let's just finish reading that Jeremiah. In verse 7, he said, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. That's what I began, that's what I read, and then I began to go into things I was saying. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And my emphasis for today is the next line. And all that I command you, you shall speak. That is what I command. That is what you speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you. He said in verse 9, then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. You will use the words I have put in your mouth to pluck up, to break down, small boy, to destroy, and to overthrow. Inexperienced young man will build and he will plant. Why? Because of the words that the Lord put in his mouth. You know, there's something I say on Tuesdays in our school of prayer. I always say like this, that we don't come to pray. What do we come to do? To learn to pray. But more importantly, I say we come to learn a new habit. Do you understand my point? It's a habit I like to teach Christians. For example, I learned that as a preacher, as a pastor, I learned a habit of greeting people. If you notice, if I've greeted you recently, I always greet you, it is well with you. That's how I greet. How are you is not my main greeting anymore. How are you is a question. It means I'm confused. Do you get my point? You don't want a confused pastor, do you? Ah, pastor, I'm traveling. Say, oh, you will go well. Your journey will prosper. If you call me, say, I'm in the plane, we're about to take off. In fact, last time my mother-in-law was traveling, she was in the plane. She called me and said, Banky, I'm about to put off my phone. I just said, let me tell you, I'm on the way. I said, the angels of God will carry your plane and drop it gently. That was my greeting. It's not, call me when you reach there. That you call me or not is besides the point. Words are weapons. So, you know, because, of course, recently all the crash in Nigeria and everything. So the angels of God, those guys are very powerful. They can carry planes. Yes, you don't know that? You don't need more than two of them to handle a Boeing 777. They can, two of them. Go and read Angels on Assignment. The walls of Jericho did not fall down. go and read your Bible very well. If you have a Hebrew, a Bible that gives you analysis of Hebrew words, the walls of Jericho sank. The literal Hebrew says, and the walls went down, that the wall went down under itself. If you have the companion Bible, you see it. It went down under itself. That's a literal Hebrew. The people was wondering, what does it mean for a wall to go down under itself? So it's okay, it went down flat. That it fell down flat. It didn't fall. It sank. The angels pushed it into the ground. Go and read the angels on assignment. I first read that book, then I went and checked my references. And R.W. Bollinger said, literal Hebrew, it went down, the wall went down under itself. He now put in brackets, said, probably into the ground. This was a Hebrew scholar. He didn't read the book. Angels on assignment. I said, no. And then the common sense was that if it tumbled down, you couldn't go each man ahead of you. The angels cracked it beside where Rahab's house was, then sank the rest of it into the ground. Suddenly, there was no wall. Those guys are powerful. They can carry planes. I've heard testimonies of those who saw angels just carry somebody and drop the person gently. By the time you look, the fellow is not there anymore. What am I going to say? So if you're on a plane, you're about to take off, you call me. I don't say, hey, wear your seatbelt. Wear your seatbelt. Not where I am now. What I will tell you simply is, it is well with you. You will go safely. You will come back safely. It's a habit. I formed the habit when I studied the word of God. When we finish and I say, goodness and mercy. It's not a wish. It's not closing prayer. It's a declaration. And one of the things you must learn how to do is to say amen. Not thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. No, it's amen. In fact, the best way to handle it, somebody prophesies over you, or you read the scriptures, all right? Repeat it. Don't just shut up. As you are living, say, yes, goodness is following me. Mercy is following me. I'm talking about the prophetic lifestyle. Listen, I think this one you must understand. People will tell you, if a girl is from a broken home, you've heard that before? Or a girl will tell you that if a guy is from a broken home, they are more likely. So they are afraid. I heard that the father and the mother, they are divorced. It's called soothsaying like a Philistine. Let's read that scripture again so that we'll remember. Isaiah chapter 2. I'll read from verse 5. It said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In answer to the Lord, he said, for thou hast abandoned thy people, the house of Jacob. The summary of it is that God abandoned them because they were not walking in the light of the Lord. How did they do that? He said, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Let me just stop there. The point here is this. What does it mean to soothsay like Philistines? To think that what we be is decided by what has been naturally. Are you getting my point? That's what it means to be a soothsayer like Philistines. There are statements you don't... Look, I'm in this again, and I will stay there. I don't care. Let me say something about faith. Faith is all encompassing. All encompassing. What I mean is this. This is the easy way I like to explain it. You can't see, faith is not what I choose alone. Faith is what I am able to do. Let me explain what I mean. It's either you can believe or you can't believe. I don't know where I get the point. There's an ability in believing. Jesus said, how can you believe? How can you believe? That is, how will the ability be given to you when you are more interested in the praise of men than in the praise of God? That is, the ability to believe is removed from a man if what people think of him or what people think of her is more important than what God thinks. No matter the determination in the heart of that person, the fellow does not have the ability to believe. No matter how much you wish for it, you do not have the ability. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Faith is not just, I want to, I don't want to. It's, can I? That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. If you haven't read it, please go and study it. Make sure you get the whole lesson inside the book. I wrote that, the main meat of that book, I wrote in 2 weeks. There's another book I was writing, that was in 2007. When the understanding came to me, I dropped the other one, started this one, sharp, sharp. In 2 weeks, I used to write 6 hours every day. I'll go to work. By the time I settle down, it's 6 o'clock. I'll write till 12 midnight. 12 midnight is going to be 6 a.m. in Nigeria. I call my wife. We just for like 15 minutes. Then I go to sleep. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. Why? Because one day, I was just meditating. I was at work. I was just thinking. Why did the widow of Zarephath, why did she believe a stranger who wanted to collect her offering? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm not discussing details now. But was when the understanding hit me, I went to write the book. I discovered that great faith is not determination. It's something that God drops inside you. It's an ability that God puts inside somebody. Now, I'm trying to say something here. So faith is not just, I want to believe, I don't want to believe. It's an ability. You know, the first time I went to the gym in recent years, that was quite a number of years ago, I had not exercised well. I used to do some, you know, muscle issues when I was younger. Ever since Oliver Rock and the Iron Bar Bassi of Los Angeles 84. I don't know how many of you are old enough to have watched Olympics in 84. I did. So days of Iron Bar Bassi and Oliver Rock. That ignited something in me. So we started putting blocks. You know, we put pipes in blocks. And when our mother is coming, we disappear. Because she hated seeing the thing, you understand? And when I go to university, we continue with small things. Anyway, one day I went to the gym, and the man, when he saw me, and my friend and I, Pastor Anne, he said, these people, they have not been here in a long time. He put ordinary bar, just the bar to just for us to just be carrying. After a few days, the guy added weight. In just a matter of weeks, all right? It was now 45 pounds here, 45 pounds here. A boy lying between. And we're carrying it. Faith is like that. Are you getting my point? You exercise it. You practice it. You get used to it. I'm bringing out something here. Faith is only encompassing. The easy time to start... I'm stuck on it again. Marriage matter now. The easy time to start exercising faith is even in making a choice. That's very easy. Because there's no pressure. You can take time out to think. You can take time out to plan. You can take time out to ask for counsel. You can take time out to take a book and read. The faith you refuse to exercise when it was time to marry as a Christian, you now want to harvest it suddenly when marriage troubles come as a married man. I don't know whether you get my point. You go tear Mozulu. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? You will tear your muscles. It's like trying to carry 200 pounds when you never even bother to exercise with 50 pounds. I'm not explaining something here. Faith, that's the way it is. You know, I went into this talking about soothsaying like Philistines. Let me get back there. So a young man says, if a girl is from a broken home, I can't marry her. Why? Because people like that usually produce broken marriages. It's called soothsaying, like what? Philistines. What is the word of God? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. John chapter 1 says, this one was born not of the will of man, but of the will of God. Born not according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Either you believe that or you don't have faith. If you throw away those revelations, you're not going to marry. You're not telling your wife you have chosen by your wisdom. Let us pray. God said to who? On what occasion? Are you getting what I'm explaining? That's how faith is. We start exercising it. Let me not leave my main message of soothsaying like Philistines. What is the duty of believers? Let me see to my message for today. Last Tuesday, I began to talk about making choices. I can tie this one with it also. I'll finish it on Tuesday. What is the duty of Christians? You are a prophet. Amen?
Amen.
You are a prophet. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And you are your own most powerful, most anointed, and most important prophet. It is to you according to your faith. Long ago, I began to declare it, and I still declare it till today. One, I can't marry Jezebel. I don't want to know how to identify Jezebel. I just won't marry Jezebel. Are you getting my point? Yes. You say, how do you know a Jezebel? You can't know her. You can't. You can't. Because the Bible makes it clear, even the devil can show up in white gown. How much more a small Jezebel? We've read it from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon said, the security is not in human wisdom. He said, it's those who are pleasing to God. They are the ones that will escape from her. But the sinner will be enticed. That's the problem I have sometimes with all the books on psychology and how to. Too many. You know, there's a joke I crack when it comes to marriage. 229 questions or 582 questions to ask before you say I do. Soothsaying like Philistines. That's what I'm talking about. Instead of checking all this, start prophesying about your life now. Don't you realize you are the salt of the earth? This divorce must stop somewhere, and you have been commanded to stop it. And you are running away. I don't know what I hear what I said. Her parents are divorced. Her grandparents are divorced. Those ones' grandparents are divorced. So God said, there is God, it's called the salt of the earth. You, get married and end this trend. They're soothsaying like Philistines. They say, this is a trend though. It shall continue. Prophets declaring what will continue. You get what I'm saying? You say to the young woman, you have married a man who does not know how to divorce. This may sound harsh. Tell her, before you divorce me, you will fall sick, you will die. So forget this matter. Don't marry me meanwhile. Say, it will be like a joke. She will laugh. Say, baby, I'm not joking. No. I have a commandment from above to bless your descendants. If he gets to that level, I'm telling you, so once you were thinking of divorce, you begin to get headache. But quickly repent. That headache will not improve until you repent. I'm telling you how miracles are created. I've been married for 13 years and I have found out that there's no human method for maintaining a good marriage. There's none. Trust me, when I tell you for 13 years, this end of this year will make 13 years I've been married. All right? And I'm telling you now, there is no human method. Read my book, Should I Say Yes? Everything I wrote inside that book, I believe it. I wasn't lying to you. I found out that to love your wife is not good character. I'm like, that brother, his character is very good. He just loves everything. He loves his cat, his dog, his car. He loves everything, his children and his wife. Forget those things. They don't work. You want to love your wife? It's simple. Go kneel down and say, Father, I thank you. The woman thou givest me, I want to love her. Pour the spirit of sweet stomach, sweet love and romance into me. Let my wife see me and wonder what I ate. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't tell how you pray that prayer. Pray it by yourself. A time will come, they will see your wife running. Say, why is he running? Say, my husband is always after me. He said, this man wants to finish with love. My wife gave that testimony at our 10th anniversary. It's not like he was joking. He was in church. But it wasn't a joke. It wasn't a joke. I literally pursued around the house. So that pastor is a very nice guy. That's not true. One of the things I had to overcome was a hot temper. I asked my wife. One day she picked up the phone and called my friend in the U.S. Say, if he will just, when he's angry, just go away. Just let him just calm that this, out of anger, let him, that, this way this man gets angry sometimes, I get afraid. One day I vexed my wife, She ran from the front of the car to go and sit at the back. Lest things go wrong. You understand my point? Well, later on she told me that she was so afraid. When I parked, she came down. I didn't know why. I thought she went to stretch her leg. She went to sit at the back. So, if you think I'm Mr. Nice Guy, forget it. I still remember where I was when I prayed that prayer. All this one of irreconcilable differences. It's around nonsense. What did I call it? Around nonsense. When spoiled boys marry spoiled girls, that's what you find. And they refuse to renew their minds with the word of God. That is why I'm angry with this American doctrine that we try to import into Nigeria to make it look like if you and your wife are not happy, and I go, you all settle, go your way, I go my way, then you announce to everybody that we have divorced as if nothing happened. As if nothing happened. One of my friends said that he doesn't read books written by American preachers on marriage. He said, why? He said, the books are not honest. Now, the generalization is too much, okay? But there's a point I want to make out. Let me bring out from there. That the preachers, their ministries depend on their looking good in the eyes of the public. And they're often doing things just to make their wives happy. And that's what they are teaching other people. I was recommending some messages by some American preachers. And that's what I know. These guys are different. One of them was by Derek Prince. I said, look, read that Derek Prince book. The book and the... If you can read Derek Prince, God is a matchmaker. Husbands and Fathers... And I listen to the series, all right? He has some series on marriage, okay? Very good materials. But the point I'm making is this. A lot of those messages people preach on how to. I read some of them. I say people are trying to prevent divorce. And I think it's crap. Read a book on how to enjoy the marriage you are inside. You ain't going anywhere. I don't know whether I get the point. I'm not trying to prevent divorce. You are not going anywhere, that's for sure. So that we'll be happy or we'll not be happy. That's what we're not discussing. Let me not see too much of marriage. The point I'm trying to make is this. Instead of saying that, if a girl is from a broken home, if a guy is from a broken home, they're saying, you are a prophet. And you don't soothsay like Philistines. That's what I'm making. You rearrange the matter. And you face it, oh, it's not denial. So, girl, there is a spirit that has been working in this, your family, in your lineage. I hope you know that in Christ Jesus, you are different. You know, the main problem with Christianity today is ignorance. No, that's a matter of fact. I hear Christians talk sometimes, I'm afraid. For them, oh. Don't let somebody touch you on the road, though. They may pass something to you. If you talk like that, may I not abuse you. But please, you are very stupid. I don't want to insult you. Let me just say it in a very nice way. A child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, person touch you for real, something will disappear for your body and you believe it. Hey. The main problem with Christianity today is ignorance. And it's because people have emphasized on what they call, in quotes now, what they call the prophetic. They just come to the church and be declaring. Listen, there are prophetic declarations that are important, amen? But you cannot live by those things alone. You must have wisdom and understanding. You must have knowledge to put stability in your soul. What am I saying? You will tell the young woman, listen, in Christ Jesus, I hope you know your lineage has changed though. my own lineage changed though. You tell her straight. All those things they say, don't believe them. Don't believe them. Is it a lie that, you know, deliverance prophets, they like it? Hey, if in your family, they have been having divorce in every generation, come out. Don't bother going anywhere. In your family, there has never been any divorce in any generation. Because if any man, any woman being in Christ, he is a new creature. Jesus has not divorced the church. The Holy Spirit has not decided to come from another part of heaven. Amen? Yeah, it's true. Your father in faith is Abraham. Are you getting what I'm saying? With this anointing oil, I will break that bondage today. Say, yes, I'm not in bondage. I'm serious. Tell yourself, tell the young woman ahead. So we are not going to look for any special prayer. We have been prayed through on the cross. Amen? And when you want to wed, ask the pastor, where's the vow? Don't give me an American vow. I want to hear for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I want to hear it. I don't want to hear, I take it to be my love, whether it's my phone, today we shall be one. And that's the end of it. This serious matter, that's the end of it. No, I don't want to hear that one. I don't want to hear that one. I want to hear, with my body, I do worship. You know, if there's one word they use like that. All my worldly goods, I do thou endow. There's a way they write it. I want to hear it like that. We are dealing with spiritual matters here. Don't come and give me, you don't understand my point, Tom Cruise marriage. I don't want. When you have taken, I say, you see, okay, we're in Christ Jesus. We are made. You can have 10 sisters and 14 brothers, all of them divorced. It's their personal problem. I have married you. I like one book by Walter Trubbish. That was the title of the book. I married you. And it's not, look, you know, people say, start watching out for the sign. There's no sign. This is the end of it. It has ended. All I'm watching out for now is, husband, love thy wives. And wives, be submissive to thy husbands, like every other person. And for your information, the people who think there's no divorce in their families, the demons that we cast out, we go to their house. I don't know what I hear what I said. I don't know. You didn't catch what I'm saying. Those who are walking in self-confidence, that my father never divorced my mother, my grandfather, the devil say, well, I need a new house. You've not heard that when they cast me out, I have to go around many places. This place looks very conducive. But we just come house one day. When it was happening, he said he bought a gun for thieves. He will fire the first shot into the roof in his house against his wife. The woman will disappear. It is the demons that we cast out from somewhere else. Seek, you know, the devil said, looking for whom he might devour. That is, if I reach here, these guys are too wicked. Pastor Banky and his wife, they are very wicked souls. I have to go to another place where I'm more welcome. Those who have self-confidence in themselves. You know, my father taught me. My grandfather said in our family, you see, his family is a natural family. We can eat that one. So saying like what? Philistines. Listen, Christian, I said, we learn to prophesy. That's why I said the major problem in the body of Christ today is ignorance. We learn it, and I've just taught you one method. It's based upon the scriptures. It said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say, are you getting my point? That's Hebrews chapter 13. It said, because he has said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can anybody do to me? That's verse 6. You are getting the point. Listen, how do we prophesy? He said to Jeremiah, the words I have put in your mouth is what we use to pull down, to uproot, to destroy, to scatter, and then use that one to build your life and plan something good. Christians are too busy prophesying. I receive a Lexus Jeep. Prophecies of poverty. You know, I've been warning you about those poverty mentality things. and you wake up in the morning, you are confessing about Lexus Jeep, you should know that poverty is your problem. Those who have Lexus Jeep, they just buy it. Amen? What do? They buy it. Have you ever seen a rich man with money? Go to the market, say, praise God, today they are going to sell car to me. What is the problem with selling car to you? It is the seller that should be prophesying that I'm going to come in to buy it. What I'm saying, let's not fill our times with mundane things. Say, what if I don't have money? It's not the problem. You prophesy generally about wealth. Don't waste your time on car. What if you have a car, you don't have parking space? You see what? Don't start. He say, Lord, you brought me a car without parking space. You didn't prophesy parking space now. You don't go and park in a place where all the other vehicles are around. Either don't have headlamps, or they have only three tires. So you now stick out like a sore thumb because all you did was prophesy Lexus. Stop prophesying or something like that. If you want to prophesy money, prophesy wealth. You understand my point? Behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I may not look rich now, but in Christ Jesus, I'm rich. You keep on declaring that way, when it's time to buy Lexus, you will buy parking space, buy Lexus, buy good neighborhood, amen? Buy everything, and you will soon be with a prayer point. And you will send somebody's self. Because the prophetic word was well directed. At that time, you won't like Lexus anymore. You'll probably be liking something else. So all your years of prophecy would not have been wasted. I'm going to emphasize something. Listen, Christianity, we are prophets. Our lives are arranged by prophecy. Our environments are arranged by prophecy. And please, we prophesy based upon the word of God, not based upon our personal experiences. I claim a job in this place. Why? Because in your mind, I have a PhD. You get what I'm saying? That's the only thing you are thinking of. I claim this job because my uncle is a minister. You know, you don't say it outside, but deep inside you, you are claiming those things based on the natural things that are your advantages. Listen. You prophesy because he has said. Are you getting my point? For example, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. That one covers a lot of things. And let me tell you another thing. In learning this prophesying thing, you start now concerning things that are not even a problem yet. And listen, it's not just today by habit, you understand? It's not just like, hey, praise God, it's time for prophet. Let's quickly prophesy something this morning. It's just your habit. It's just what? Your habit. Just make it a habit. You're just driving by. And your mind, you know, you're a businessman. You don't have money yet. When you drop hand in that pocket, not in the inside. But put hand inside. You're driving by. This building is very nice, though, very big. Is this man that owns it? Who? That guy, that politician. You just say to your friend, one day we'll buy it. It's not a prayer meeting, is it? It's just a statement. One day we'll buy it. And we'll buy like five of this type. It would be nice to have a chain of guest houses that are inexpensive, very nice, good people come there. Just talk about it and you continue going. Your friend will say, hey, you, Seth, your mouth. Say, wait into my mouth. Your mouth is too big, Seth. He said, no, it's just appropriately sized. In fact, it's increasing in size. It's describing what my life is and which you will soon see in manifestation. You just say it and you just keep going. One day, person will laugh at you. Somebody will laugh at you. Maybe, you know, you're a single guy and some single babes will laugh at you. Why? Hey. You don't even have a car to take somebody out on Valentine's Day, sir. He said, don't worry. One day, each of my children, on their birthdays, each one will go out with a chauffeur-driven limo. And they don't have to tell me. They'll just go pick the keys, and they'll just go. And that's how it will be with my children. And by the way, Pastor Banky said, Valentine's Day is not the will of God. Say, who sent Valentine? See your father's relative. Just use mouth, spoil that one. You are not going anywhere. But you say very nicely and coolly, don't worry. don't worry. One day I will send people that maybe one of my young men was getting married. I'll say, this is your wedding present. I'll give them an all expenses paid trip to Paris with money for shopping. Just say it in person. You're not married, though. You don't even have a banned motorbike. You're getting my point? You're not married. You're nothing. And somebody in your life, you just drop it. And listen to me, one day it will happen. And this is interesting part. You will even have forgotten that you said it. But because you declared something in that direction, that day has been planned. Even if you wanted to be poor, God said, no, he can't be poor now. He has to give wedding presents of all expenses paid trip with shopping money to Europe for people who are working with him. I'm so sorry. You, after that, you can become poor again. But for now, listen, we must learn to make prophesying a habit. We must not ever accept to be soothsaying like Philistines. It's so important. We're learning from Moses. Moses thought he would go and struggle. People say, you want a better job, go back to school. You see, if your job, you know, in quotes now, requires schooling, you know, there are jobs that require schooling. What I mean is that you're a university lecturer, as an example, where I work. You understand? There are things like that, but if it's because you just want money, please, it's a worldly way of thinking. You know, it's very common in my office. People come and say, oh, God, you see old women going to register for NECO. So I come and say, come. What is the problem? They say, I have a promotion now. You know, my own mentality is that if I told one of the listeners, I said, by the time you finish this exam, no, go don't retire. He said, no. When did I join? Okay, now remember that when they join, the marriage said they are 22. When in actual fact, they are closer to 40 than anything else. So, okay. I said, okay, sorry, no problem. Don't worry, in Jesus' name, you pass your neck, don't worry about it. But you know, my own mentality is that if it is money, I'm not going to go and do NECO because I'm looking for promotion from level 1 to level 2. No, not serious promotion. No, you see, that's why, oh God, my time is gone. But, you know, the Bible says that the deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, but the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's a change of mentality that brings forth wealth. Some of those people, they are so hardworking. You know, with the amount of, in fact, I'm thinking of somebody in my mind now, that woman, with the amount of industry in her hands, as hardworking as she is, she does not need a government job looking for how to be promoted from level 1 to level 2. Hey! But I couldn't just start this preaching there. So I left the woman. But the truth is that, no, that's not what she needs. As for Christians also, that's not what you need. My time is gone, let me just summarize it. The first thing you need now, all right, is to start prophesying into that time. Don't look at yourself like, oh God. Don't look at yourself at all, amen? Whether you are good or bad, don't look at yourself. You have money you don't have, don't look at yourself. Just look at whatever it is that God has planted in your heart as a dream and start prophesying. It's those words that we arrange the fulfillment of themselves. Say, so for the word of God is living and active. Is living and active. It can arrange things. That's what it means. It can arrange things. Let me summarize it. Your duty is to learn to prophesy. That is how you create miracles. You know, the mistake, you know, before I used to argue with people, I told you, I don't argue anymore. When I ever since I understood it, I realized that some of the arguments I have is because what has become normal to me is a miracle to somebody else. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yeah, what has become normal to me is a miracle to somebody else. The Bible says that by faith, those fellows went through the Red Sea. And when the Egyptians attempted it, what happened? They drowned. And that's what will make your life a miracle. You are altering things ahead. You will get to a point, you will make a free decision, you will strike it rich in business. You will make a very free decision, suddenly you are a very big minister. In quote, and I'm not talking about worldly fame now, but the amount of influence you are to people in the body of Christ. You make a free decision, all right? God will relocate you in the midst of your decision, suddenly you look like you are the wisest person. The truth is that you were not wise. Is that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Are you getting my point? So when people want to follow you afterwards and try it, they start drowning. Get used to it. You are a child of miracles. That was one thing that Moses learned. We are not bringing them out of Egypt by our strength. We are not. We are bringing them out of Egypt by prophesying. And we will sustain them both in the wilderness and in the promised land by words of prophecy. I hope you've got my point today. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's just say, Father, we thank you.